Good morning. Greetings in the name of Christ. It's good to be with you today. Thank you for leading that song, Brother James. Thank you all for being here. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I just thank you for what we've already heard this morning. And Lord, I just pray a blessing on this service further. I pray that you would speak here and that your spirit would be active in our hearts. And Lord, I just pray that we would be willing to draw closer to you every day, even today, even right now. And Lord, I just pray that you would just keep us, keep our minds focused on the things of eternity. And I pray that you would just receive glory by your people. And may we be willing to turn our lives into your care and into your keeping and into your control. In the name of Jesus, I pray it. Amen. So this is a little bit different for me. I was asked to give another presentation, another extension of what we've been talking about for the last three or four times I've been up here. And I guess I'm just going to be honest with you here. This is probably more difficult for me than it is for you to hear it at this point. Maybe not, I don't know. And as I was thinking about that, so we're talking about the subject of giving and getting practical with ways to reach the obligations that we have and as a church. And I sort of have this rising up in me of, you know, I'd like to talk about 1 Corinthians 13, like Kevin did this morning. And that, why can't I, you know, but here I'm doing this thing with money again and on a Sunday morning. And so that's, you know, that's sort of what was in my heart, is a sort of a pushback against this. And then I'm sitting here thinking about why the pushback? Why do I feel uncomfortable about this? Why would I rather talk about something else? And there again, in the interest of honesty, I think it reveals something in my heart. And I think it's probably something that's revealed in all of our hearts when we have this conversation about God's people and money. It seems like there's this dichotomy that we've got going on. And this, the conversation that we, and I've talked about this before, but the conversation that we have about spiritual sacrifice, we're talking about things like we want to talk about Romans 12, right? Giving our bodies a living sacrifice. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means taking your living arm and putting it in your back right pocket and pulling out your wallet. That's one of the things it means. And but we have a disconnect there sometimes between the actual sacrifice and the idea of sacrifice. And maybe the reason it makes me uncomfortable is because I still haven't won that battle. And maybe the reason, can I say this honestly too? Maybe the reason it makes the audience uncomfortable when we're talking about money on a Sunday morning is because we haven't made that transition yet. That transition between the idea and the fact, between the idea of giving, the idea of sacrifice, the idea of honoring God with our substance, and the fact of we've got to give up some of the money that we earned last week. Maybe? Is that true? And I'm certainly not wanting to present this as a way of making us feel guilty. As I said on Wednesday, our model for giving should not be based on guilt, that we feel pressured or shamed into giving. It should be based on looking at that cross on Calvary, recognizing what Jesus has done for us, and then as his nature overtakes our old nature, and as our old nature is crucified, placed on the cross, and as Christ's nature, which he tells us will live in us, as that happens, and his nature replaces our nature, the very nature that allowed Jesus to sacrifice himself for the salvation of mankind is going to flow out through us. And it's going to create in God's people this same mentality of giving themselves to redeem the situations that they find themselves in through God's strength, through his direction. And one of those ways is going to be with our means. It's going to be an encouraging, with a smile on your face or a pan of cinnamon rolls or a warm hug. But it might also be through the money that we've made that week. So it's all one and the same. It's all the same conversation. It's not a split conversation. And it's something that is valid on Sunday morning as it is on Wednesday evening. One of the reasons that I'm presenting this on Monday morning by request is that, and I'm not, here again, I'm not pointing fingers. I know how difficult it can be to get to a midweek meeting sometimes, but we haven't had everybody at all of our meetings, and some I don't believe have been here at all for a couple of those, for those meetings that we've been having on finding a solution to fund our school, fund our mission, fund general fund, and fund the hospital fund. So we've been having these conversations, and I'm just going to very briefly run over what we have decided as of last Wednesday, and then I'm going to open it for questions, which I know is different from a normal inspirational opening on a Sunday morning, but we're just going to do this way, and we don't expect to turn this into a practice. But first of all, I would like to look over at Luke 17. And there is a passage here, an interesting passage in verses 5 through 10. Luke 17, verses 5 through 10. And what's interesting to me is how this story is prefaced, or how this teaching is prefaced. And that's, the context is verse 5. The apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. So there it is, 1 Corinthians 13 part of our Christian life, right? Increase our faith. Make me stronger in the belief of God. How does God do that? Well, he's going to tell us how he does it. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come down from the field, go and sit down to meat, will not rather say unto him, make ready, wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye have done what shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We've done that which was our duty to do. How do we increase our faith? We increase our faith by having to depend on the Lord, by placing ourselves in a position in which we can no longer help ourselves. God has to help us. That's how we increase our faith. That's terrifying, at least if we've never done it before. Because we want to be able to help ourselves. I don't know how the ladies feel, but I know that's something that runs through every man's veins, is this thing of needing to have independence as a part of our psyche. We want to be able to take care of those we love. We want to be able to take care of ourselves. We want to be able to stand as a man among men. And what God is saying, what Jesus is saying here, is that if you want to increase your faith, you have to have your knees knocked out from underneath you. You have to be able to depend on me, not because, not even as a decision. You place yourself sometimes at the mercy of God, and you say, "Okay, God, I'm going to do whatever you want me to do." That's different than your house burning down. You know what I mean? And you have to follow God. You have to depend on God because your house is no longer there, or you lost your job. That's a different sensation there, right? And Jesus is saying, put yourself in that kind of a situation so that you can increase your faith. And then what's interesting is that he wraps it up by, he gives a little scenario there of a servant serving his master, which is us serving God. And then he says at the end, so when you have done all these things which are commanded, you have to have this knowledge of yourself. You're just an unprofitable servant. You've just done that which was your duty to do. It's difficult for us. That's why it's impossible to think your way into Christianity, to think your way into discipleship, and to theorize your way into following Christ, because you can't do it that way. You have to do this as a disciple, following Christ one step at a time and allowing him to take control of your life. Because, from the outside, that looks like a terrible thing. That looks miserable. And it's not until you have submitted, and not until we have given our lives over to Christ, that the reality strikes. And that reality is that he takes care of us much better than we could take care of ourselves. And I overheard a discussion in the back Sunday school class this morning that I thought was really, really good. Somebody was saying that we need to get over ourselves. Once we get out of the trap of ourselves and allow God to simply work in us and through us, that's when beautiful things can begin to happen in people's lives. And they happen in 1 Corinthians-type conversations, 13, and they also happen in conversations about our money and our means. So it affects all of our lives.